All right, welcome back to the Modern Dealer Business Development Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Thomas, and we're marking a new page in the podcast that's been going strong here for over 6 years now. This is not a side hustle or a hobby for me. I don't say these things to brag or to boast. I've worked with dealers in every state in the country, and when I say worked, I don't mean over the phone. I've worked for as a consultant physically in a dealership in every single state in the country, and I have respective dealer references in every state in the country. So my references are there. I know what I do, but I also know that the dealers that get it are becoming somewhat of a rare breed. And when I say get it, I want to talk a little bit about a video that I came across on TikTok and I posted recently. It's a video of a gentleman who works for a CDJ dealership in Texas. I think it's San Antonio. I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter. The point is, and I can, I'll link the video in the comments on Anchor if you're streaming through Anchor, or you'll be able to see it on Spotify, I think, too. But the point is that I'll try to link it so that you can go back and see it. But there's this disturbing new trend among an increasing number of disturbing trends in our industry. There's a disturbing trend to brag about the customers that you're exploiting. So I want to talk a little bit about exploitative behaviors today and the level of severity of exploitative behaviors and why it's not in our favor to play this game of Russian roulette with our survival. So let's talk about what breaks our customer loyalty. Let's talk about what the real root cause is of our inability to see a customer again, right? We spend all this money through our marketing department. We spend all this money through our BDC department to, you know, cultivate a lead, to generate, you know, some interest and maybe get our BDC department engaged with the customer actively. Maybe if we're lucky, schedule an appointment. And then if we're really lucky, actually see that customer in our dealership. And then if we're even luckier, they have a greater good experience, at least hopefully, with our salespeople on the floor, maybe our management, and they buy a car, right? Or, you know, that's what we hope. The problem is that right before we send them off the road, on the road, you know, down the road, in their brand new ride, we run them through this F&I office, right? And this is where the damage happens, and we know this, right? But we still do it. Like, you're probably going to go back to business as usual after you hear this podcast, and that's pretty sad. But your dealership is probably engaging in this stuff to some level, to some degree, and you're probably going to go back and continue to do the same thing. But at least I can say that I told you why you'll never see that customer again that you're delivering a car to today, why you'll never see a customer again after you continue to do these things. So every dealer has got their own little trick or tricks. Many of us have our, you know, have handful of them, maybe a half dozen of them, right? Our kind of go-to cards that we like to play. Maybe it's rust proofing. Maybe it's, I've seen it all, right? I mean, having worked in dealerships in every state in the country, I've seen it all. So I've seen, you know, the little box that has like two AA batteries and a wire connected to the car's battery, and we call it electronic rust proofing, and we charge the customer like $1,500 for it. I'm laughing, but it's pretty sad. We do this rust proofing thing, you know, all these value added services that, let's be honest, many times don't add any value and simply only, you know, put the customer in a compromised position. So that we can get gross, so we can make more money. But in doing that, we ensure that we'll never ever see that customer again. And we all have, like, you know, kind of our go-to cards that we like to play. Maybe it's rust proofing. Maybe it's, lost key protection. And I'm not saying that these value-added services are all scams and they're all BS, but let's be honest, many, if not most of them are. And oftentimes, if not many times, we are less than transparent about really ensuring that the customer understands that they're actually paying for these things. Worse, sometimes we see dealers that are charging the customer for this thing or things that they don't know, want, or need, and then they don't even get. And that's really, I mean, that's nothing fancier than theft. And many of us engage in that kind of behavior to some degree. But we don't think of it like theft. We think of it as, hey, we're getting gross. Well, the reality is that our customers think of it like theft. So whether I think of it like theft really is neither here nor there, but your customers think of it as theft, and you'll never see them again. Because eventually, a lot of these customers do catch on, and because you don't have good communication with your customers after they buy a car, because they had this horrible experience, you know, maybe they got hit with all these things that they didn't want, need, or even in some instances know about, and now they're further upside down than they should have been because you needed to make gross, you're never going to see that customer again. And now you have a customer actively working against your campaigns to generate new business. They're going out and they're maybe, you know, writing, you know, their experiences on social media, on review sites, things like that, and talking to their friends and their family about their experience. And so this is bad, right? This is bad. We have customers that are, you know, really, really unhappy with us at this point. And you know, I've talked about this a little bit before, but there's this disturbing new trend on social media where we have these salespeople, oftentimes they're younger salespeople, salespeople that came into the industry maybe, just before or at the onset of, COVID and later the chip shortage. And they don't really have, I mean, depending on how young or old young these people are, sometimes they don't have much life experience. And many times they don't have any real experience outside of what they've seen in our industry since the chip shortage. So this is all they know. But what we're seeing on social media, and I'm talking about like, you know, apps like YouTube short videos, the TikTok videos, your Facebook shorts. And by the way, don't tune this out. Just because you don't look at these things and you think this stuff is silly, it doesn't mean it's not relevant. See, it's very relevant. This is what people are looking at today. People don't have attention spans of 10 or 20 minutes. Most people don't. I commend you for actually listening to this podcast because it means that you've got a longer attention span than most people have. But most people only have a 15 or 30 second attention span, maybe 60 seconds if you're lucky. And that's why these short videos have become kind of the new consumable for social media. And we're seeing this disturbing new trend of folks that sell cars and they're going on social media and they're bragging basically about the exploitative behaviors that they engage with, basically how they rip their customers off. They're going, and basically ripping on the customers they just ripped off. And it really got me thinking because this one video that's really sat heavy with me for a while. I was able to real quickly, this young black gentleman who was basically bragging about the fact that he ran his customer through, I think, Santander at like some ridiculous interest rate at 27% when they could have easily gotten, you know, like a 3% or something like that. And he was bragging about it. And these are the kind of videos that go viral. These are the kind of videos that our customer base, whether it's local to us or otherwise, see and then become more convinced than ever that we are exactly the type of people they always thought and knew we were, and our video just confirmed it. So let me give you a little bit of bio on this. This gentleman talked about this, you know, this customer he basically ripped off, that he could have sold him, you know, a much lower interest rate. And I thought it was interesting because it's like a CDJ dealership in San Antonio, or not in San Antonio, in I forget, it's somewhere in Texas. And what I found even more interesting, I mean, and like we got a lot of young people that are doing this, and it's just like they're pumping out the content, and your customers are seeing this stuff. It might not be your salespeople from your dealership in your city that they're seeing, but they're seeing other salespeople doing this kind of stuff, other young people who don't know anything other than what your dealership has conditioned them to do. It's really just a tragedy, because there's nothing that hurts my heart more than seeing somebody come into an industry, especially somebody that I've cultivated myself to try to, you know, serve them up to you as a client, and to see and to basically become aware, or to be aware, that you're pretty much going to corrupt this person at a very young age. But unfortunately, we see that happen a lot. And I guess it just sits heavy with me, because I think we have a moral obligation to not encourage illegal behaviors, you know, especially with young people. I think that really is, I'm laughing, but it's not funny. I mean, this type of behavior, especially when we do it with young people, it changes the direction and the trajectory of their life in many instances. And that's why this podcast is a little different this time, because I'm tired of seeing these videos. I'm tired of our cockiness, that we deserve to make money. We finally deserve to make... No, don't tell me you finally deserve to make money. We've always been making money. We've been exploiting our customers in many instances, in many dealerships, way before the chip shortage, way before the onset of COVID. We've been selling them things they don't want, they don't need, and in some instances, they don't even receive. You know, I remember working for one of the shadier dealerships, if not the shadiest dealership I ever worked for. It was an independent Highline dealership. I won't say who it was, but they're in the Midwest. And if you drove by this place, you'd be pretty impressed. I'm talking Maserati, Bentley, Rolls Royce, lots of Mercedes. I mean, they didn't really have junk at the store. This was a super nice looking store on the outside, but they had certain go-to gimmicks every single time that every single customer bought a car, right? I'm sure to some degree it's changed over the years, but their reviews reflect that their activities really haven't changed much. One of the things when I was a BDC director for them that we did to every single customer that, you know, went through the finance offices, they got what we called a VIP package, and that included lifetime car wash as well. The ironic part is that because many of our customers were from, you know, not necessarily exactly local. Chicago's a big area, right? So just because somebody says they live in Chicago, or, you know, Chicagoland, they could be 75 or 50 miles away. So, and oftentimes we'd have customers that would come from out of state, you know, the tri-state area, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana. So point being is that we'd have customers that would come from out of area, out of state, and they'd be charged for this VIP car wash package, which I think we'd charge $1,500 or something like that at the time for unlimited car washes. Now, oftentimes the customer didn't really fully understand they were paying for this. Sometimes they did, but many times, if not most of the times, the customer didn't understand they were really buying this thing. And the real tragedy here is that we knew all the times that the customer was buying it where they weren't even physically going to be able to utilize it, because they didn't even live in the same state, the same city. It just wasn't reasonable that the customer would commute 150 miles to use a car wash, right? But we didn't care, right? It was one of the cards that we had up our sleeve. And this dealership had many of those cards up their sleeve. One of the cards that they had up their sleeve is they typically only delivered cars with one key, yet they would always sell the customer on having the vehicle having two keys. Especially with some of these more higher line cars, and I'm talking about, you know, not just your BMWs, your BMWs, your Mercedes, talking more along the lines of, you know, your Maseratis, your Bentleys, maybe your Rolls Royce, and certainly your Lambos and things like that. These keys and key fobs get very, very expensive. We're not talking hundreds, a thousand plus, you know, thousands of dollars is what we're talking in some instances. So your customer would get very, very mad very, very quickly when they realize that they only got one key, and a replacement key would be, you know, $1,000, and they were basically lied to. And so, you know, there's all these things, but we always, that was just our that was, you know, our that was our business as usual. We told the customers every car came with two sets of keys, even though we knew that we delivered cars with one set of keys. So And these things, of course, would come up on social media. You know, these common denominators would come up over and over and over and over and over again. And, you know, in maybe 25% of the customers that would, you know, become the biggest pains and become the loudest customers after 6 or 9 months of, you know, threatening legal action on, you know, Google and, you know, Yelp and all of these sites. You know, we'd maybe, you know, give them a good faith, you know, $500 and send them on their way. Well, that customer at that point wants nothing to do with us. They don't feel like, you know, they've been made whole. In fact, you know, but that's the kind of stuff that we do to our customers, right? Day in and day out at the finance office, right before they roll out down the road in their brand new ride. We pretty much completely crush any opportunity to ever see that customer again. And now we're at the point where we're somehow not really all that mindful about the fact that we have salespeople that are going on social media and bragging about how they're ripping your customers off, and it's just pathetic. This one gentleman that comes to mind, his first name is Cole. He was just, you know, making this video I talked about earlier about, you know, putting the customer in a Santander loan at 27% when they could have got like a top tier rate. It is very easy to figure out oftentimes who these people are because they film these videos at work. So they're wearing their polo shirts with the branded dealership name. They're oftentimes many, if not most of their videos are showing different areas of the dealership that actually have the name on the dealership walls. You know, and oftentimes it's in their bios and stuff like that. So it's very easy to figure out where this person works. And so it becomes very easy to see what dealerships are doing this type of thing. And then the comments reflect that. And so you get hundreds and sometimes thousands of comments of people, and eventually somebody realizes, oh, it's this dealership. And then eventually somebody realizes in that area, oh, my dealership does this, and they're bragging about it. It's pretty pathetic. But this one was especially egregious because this gentleman, Cole, had actually established two different accounts. He was smart enough, I'll give him credit for being smart enough to do this, but it doesn't make him smart. In fact, it makes him pretty damn dumb. He was smart enough to create an account for ripping on his customers, separate from an account that he made on TikTok for, earning customers. He had videos that he did that would basically make fun of customers and rip on the fact that his customers were dumb enough to get ripped off by him. And then he had a separate account that wasn't all that separate because in a matter of seconds, I was able to figure out where this guy worked and get onto his company page to figure out what dealership he worked at to tag the owners and management of the dealership on the TikTok video that I posted on LinkedIn. And I do not feel guilty, or I don't feel like I've done anything wrong in doing this, because look, if you as a dealership are going to be so fast and loose that you're going to exploit your customers and you're going to think it's not going to catch up to you, then you can rot in hell. I mean, you're the bottom of the bottom. You're not a client I want to work with. You're certainly not somebody I would ever want to do business with. I want nothing to do with you. I mean, that's horrible in and of itself. And then to not have any social media policy practice or policy rather in place, and, you know, to discourage or thwart this type of behavior, you're really setting yourself up for, massive customer pushback. And it may not directly come from your local market, but you may not be on TikTok. You may not be, you know, using TikTok or you know, looking at YouTube short videos or the Facebook short videos. But many, if not most, you know, younger people are. Right. And so this is mainstream stuff that any consumer that's casually scrolling through these platforms, which, by the way, are the biggest platforms right now that people consume media through on social media. So you know, you don't have to be in this industry. You just passively experience this stuff where you see these salespeople ripping on customers and bragging about making, you know, $20,000 a month while they're also bragging about ripping customers off. It's not exactly enhancing a reputation that wasn't all that upstanding pre-COVID or pre-chip shortage. So don't come at me and tell me that, oh, we deserve to make some money. We've always been making money. In fact, we've earned a lot of that money in many instances unjustly in the finance office, and we've ensured our obsolescence in that customer's in having a relationship with that customer in the future, but in doing so. So I really encourage you to start really looking at these F&I practices that you have. We've got to find a balance between making gross in the finance office and balancing ethics, because our customers don't like us. The distaste for our industry in retail automotive brick and mortar is pretty much at an absolute astronomical all-time high. And although your salespeople might be fat and happy right now, let's call it for what it is. This will come to an end, and we are doing a lot of harm to ourselves by not examining kind of the long-term ramifications that this is having on an industry that was already in deficit of really addressing some of this stuff globally that's happening in our industry. And when I say globally, I just mean across the board in our industry, in our country, as far as, you know, poor business practices that don't encourage repeat business. Because let's be honest, we have no loyalty in our industry. We have no brand loyalty, almost no brand loyalty. We have almost zero dealership loyalty. So it's a one and done mindset. People aren't having babies at the rate that we need them to have babies to keep ripping them off so that there's new customers to keep selling them cars. And then, oh, by the way, we're getting on a microphone, or we're getting on a stage and grabbing a microphone and screaming to the entire world that our salespeople are making 20 grand a month while we're ripping people off. Look, our salespeople in this industry weren't liked before, and we're really doing a good job to ensure that there are other solutions that our customers will have in the coming years, potentially as early as their next car purchase. Folks, it's time to start looking at this stuff. It's time to start, you know, questioning the things that you're doing, because if you don't have another customer to sell to, you know, I don't know what else matters. But it's great to make $5,000 or $10,000 on a car, but we're at a point, I think, where we're left with folks that get sustainability and folks that don't. I've been accused of being pro customer and anti dealer. I am absolutely pro customer and pro dealer, right? I mean, this is a for profit business. And we only keep the lights on if we earn profit, if we earn gross. But, we've got to do it ethically. We've got to do it transparently. We've got to do it so that our customers don't hate us. And then, and only then, does, you know, having a BDC that, you know, proactively stays in contact with that customer really actually start to pay off. Because let's be honest, you can have a fully functioning BDC firing on all cylinders, but if you're doing those and you know, keeping in touch with your customers, reaching out to them at 2 to 3 years, try to buy back their car. But man, let's just be honest. If you've put them in a position that they can't buy a car in 2 to 3 years because you charged them $10,000 over sticker, you know, I don't know if that really did what you thought it would do for you, because that customer is now going to go tell everybody he or she knows that you've put him in a position that he or she can't buy a car because you, you know, in their words, probably ripped them off. So, it was kind of a long-winded podcast, but you know, I am not anti-dealership. But I am pro-customer. Of course. Absolutely, I'm pro-customer. I took offense when somebody called me anti or pro-customer, because, you know, my first response was, why aren't you pro-customer? Why aren't you for the customer? Because this customer is paying your salary today. Do you not want this customer to pay your salary in 3 to 5 years when they need another car? Well, I can assure you that most of the car deals going out today are not going to be repeat customers. It's just that simple. And we all know it. we're just kind of riding this wave, and we don't know when that wave will end. But it's time to really start exploring this stuff. It's time to start talking about it. It's time to start doing things differently. If you're a dealer that does things differently, if you're a dealer that values integrity, moral compass, ethics, I want to talk to you. Let's talk. Let's get on the phone together and let's have a real conversation. Yeah, that's all I got. 708 Redline. I'd love to talk to you, see how I can help. Yeah, that's all I got, guys. Let's do this differently. I do not want us to go into another year next year when we enter 2023 without having at least made some movement on the downward spiral that we seem to be in with just this. It's a race to the bottom, guys, right now. It's a race to the bottom, and many of us are hyper-focused on getting there as quick as we can, and one quick story before we close out the podcast, and I'll keep this one short. But I remember at the onset of COVID, a lot of dealers were shutting their BDC operations, and that's primarily what I focus on. That's primarily what I'm passionate about, BDC marketing, implementation. I mean, that's what I love, putting these things together. If you're a dealer that's looking to put a BDC together, I love doing this. Call me. I want to be a part of that. I mean, down to the acoustics, I get geeked out about this stuff. So, these details matter, but the acoustics don't matter for shit if you're ripping every customer off all day, every day, and then your salespeople are going and bragging about it, and that same salesperson has a separate account for acquiring new customers while they're ripping on customers for buying a car from them on a different account on the same social media platform. Doesn't make any sense. Well, at the onset of COVID, things got a little bit quiet because dealers were, kind of scared. And I remember there was a dealer in Texas who called me, and he said, my BDC director just quit. No notice. I need somebody here on Monday. Well, I said, look, I don't fly. I drive, and I actually have a down week. I could be there next week, but for me to be there on Monday would mean I'd kind of have to leave now. And all of the signs, I don't know why I had ignored. I think I was bored of more than anything else, because, there was a period of time where there were a few weeks where the phone stopped ringing, and I embraced it. I said, okay, no problem. And I started to embrace my downtime a little bit, but, the phone rang, dealer wanted me to be there on a Monday. And I said, okay, I could, but I mean, that would mean I'd have to leave right now. And I should have seen that for what it was, is his complete lack of respect for me. But when I got there, I realized very, very quickly that not only did he not have any respect for me, he didn't have any respect for his people, because one of the things they had been doing, and they insisted they were going to continue doing, were that they were basically telling every customer on the phone when they're talking to people in the BDC that their cars were going to be sanitized before their customers came in. Well, we didn't do this, and the BDC reps knew it, and they had lost all respect for the dealership because they were basically forced to lie to their customers. Now, I went to the dealer operator and I said, look, I this isn't cool with me, and I'm not going to lose the respect of these people. This dealer actually wanted me to work for him, and this was the thing that made it all. I mean, it was a one-month project. He wanted me there for a month, basically to fill the gap of not having a BDC director. And I think he wanted to see if either I wanted to stay or he wanted me to stay. And I realized 2 weeks and a day into the project that I wanted nothing to do with this. Even as a project, I left basically 2 weeks early. And I had brought my family with me at this point, actually. My family was there on these long projects. I will bring my family with me. So when I say I put my blood, sweat, and tears into it, I also bring my family into it, right? So if you bring me to your dealership, and I've brought my family, and you're exploiting your customers, and you're exploiting your team members, look, it just, it doesn't work for me. And so he said, no, we're going to, you know, and I said, no, I don't fly like this. This is not the way I operate. I don't lie to my customers. I don't tell my team to lie to our customers. Your team has lost respect in you. And frankly, I'm not going to allow them to lose respect in me because of your arrogance. This is irresponsible behavior, and I left the project almost 2 weeks early. I almost wish I had left, a little bit sooner, because I left a day's worth of pay on the table. But I called him from the road 2 weeks and a day in, and I said, "Nope, I'm on the road, buddy. I will not be coming back. I don't need any money from you. I don't want any money from you. This is not a place I want to be." I didn't elaborate. I didn't go into it. I didn't need to at that point. I just wanted to get back home with my family. But, you know, this is the kind of stuff that, this is the kind of stuff I can smell. I can smell it. So if you're a dealer that lacks integrity, ethics, moral compass, don't call me. Please don't call me. If you're a dealership that knows that you steal from your customers all day, every day, and, you know, you hemorrhage your team members because you treat them like, a commodity, I don't want anything to do with you, because I don't bring my family on the road to, there's nothing that crushes me more than, spending time on the road in a hotel. I mean, not to mention with my family, just to see or find out at some point in time that it was all for naught, because, you know, we either, you know, took a bulldozer to the BDC because, you know, things weren't done right, or, you know, that just breaks my heart. Or just end up, you know, realizing that, you know, I don't want this guy's money. I just want to go back home. So please, I'm very selective about the clientele that I take on at this point, because I'm going to be honest, I'm going to call it for what it is, and the dealers that get it will get it. The ones that won't. There are more dealerships out there doing shady ass shit, all day, every day, than there are stand-up dealers. And there's a lot of people that disagree with me on that, but there's not a lot of people that have been in as many dealerships working intimately with their sales departments and their BDC departments, their internet sales departments, as I've been, actually physically on site, boots on the ground, getting my hands dirty with your people selling cars. So I know what's going on out there. If you're a dealer with ethics, moral compass, and these things ring a chord for you, give me a call, 708-733-5463, 708-RED-LINE. That's all the time I have for today. And can't wait to talk to you guys.